The Truth News Network. It's time for real news.
Without the spin.
The only place you'll find it is at TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Here's your political ringmaster.
Your host,
Dan Newman.
And boy, does it ever feel like we are working in a circus. It gets crazier and crazier almost daily. Hello, everyone. Dan Newman here. And we're glad you came along. Before we get started, we've got a real meaty thing to talk about with you today. But before we get started, I need to hear from you. Grab a pen, write down my email address, dan@truthnewsnet.org. Why do I need to hear from you? I need to know from you if you would like for truthnewsnet.org to go live Monday through Friday every morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. And in that, you would be able to call in and talk to me and talk to people, other people that'll be in the studio, other people on the phone. You'll be able to ask questions. You get to be part of the show. We're going to do it if enough of you want us to do it. So I need you to answer two questions in your email. Very simply, question number one, do you want us to do the live 2-hour Monday through Friday show? Secondly, does 9 to 11 a.m. Central work for you? And don't forget, there will always be a podcast of the show that you could download later if on any day, or if you work and can't listen in at those times of the day anyway, you'll always be able to get it. So let me hear from you. Again, that's dan@truthnewsnet.org. I'm glad you joined me today because today we're together going to read Between the Lines. Everybody knows who Peter Strzok is by now. Well, his testimony about the email server scandal involving Hillary Clinton raised eyebrows, not because so much of the content of the testimony, but because of his defiant and disrespectful and unapologetic attitude about the bias that was revealed in his text messages that permeated his work, apparently, at the FBI. He was consumed, hundreds of thousands of text messages and emails to Lisa Page. Then there was the verbal combat between him and Republican members of the two committees holding that joint hearing, and between the Republicans and Democrat members who were running interference for Strzok and acting as his defense counsel in the hearing. They just attacked Republicans pretty much every question they asked Strzok. Then the news media jumped in on an exchange in which Representative Louie Gohmert, who is a Republican from Texas, asked Strzok if he lied to his wife about his affair with former FBI lawyer Lisa Page in the same way as he was lying in his testimony to Congress. When he asked that, Democrats and the media went absolutely nuts, falling right in line in Strzok's defense. You know, just a little aside here, nobody ever addressed the content of that question. It really makes sense, doesn't it? A guy that will mess around with his wife and keep a mistress, and everybody is imperfect. Everybody has their faults. I get it. But for a guy in this kind of serious political intelligence department position, for him to do that and constantly lie to his wife, what could he possibly do to make members of Congress believe his testimony? The media, however, virtually ignored another exchange between Gohmert and Strzok. They got caught all up in the emotion of the outburst during that hearing. That exchange between Gohmert and Strzok that revealed a potential bombshell, that's what we're talking about here today. We're reading Between the Lines. Congressman Gohmert asked Strzok about his meeting in 2016 with Frank Rucker and Jeanette McMillan, an investigator and a lawyer, respectively, for then-Intelligence Community Inspector General Chuck McCullough. Mr. McCullough was an Obama appointee. He sent them to see Strzok, who was the FBI's Deputy Assistant Director for the Counterintelligence Division, to brief him and three other FBI personnel about an anomaly that their forensic analysis had found in Clinton's server. According to Gohmert, the inspector general discovered that with four exceptions, every single one of Clinton's emails, that's more than 30,000. This is a quote, what the inspector general said, quote, "were going to an address that was not on the distribution list." In other words, according to the information Gohmert received from the Intelligence Department Inspector General, something was causing Clinton's server to send copies of all of her email communications outside of the country to an unauthorized source that was a foreign entity unrelated to Russia. That's according to the Inspector General. If true, this means Clinton's email communication with her top aides, department leadership, ambassadors, other officials. Oh, by the way, it included President Barack Obama. May have been read by an alien entity, perhaps a foreign power hostile to the United States. That could include confidential, sensitive, top secret, and even classified information about our foreign policy or about our allies. Gohmert's exchange with Strzok doesn't reveal who the foreign entity is, but if not the Russians, and it says it wasn't the Russians, the likely culprit is the Chinese government, which has a special unit of hackers within its military that has long targeted the U.S. Our intelligence agencies have identified the Chinese as responsible for the biggest data breach to ever hit the federal government. Remember this? The 2015 hack of the Office of Personnel Management that stole the files, including security clearance applications, of 21 million current and former federal employees. All of this, folks, could have come off of Hillary Clinton's email server. 30,000 emails were being automatically transferred from her server to that, quote, unauthorized source that was a foreign entity unrelated to Russia. The server, the Clinton email server, the one in the bathroom, the one in the closet, the one that had no security software on it to protect it, the one that contained in those 30,000 emails and who knows how many more, confidential and classified information that went somewhere. We don't know. Now, why wouldn't we know? Remember James Comey, the fired director of the FBI? When he was asked about that server, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, "We didn't need the server. They gave us a complete backup file of everything on the server." Think about that. James Comey, the director of the FBI, the greatest intelligence investigatory agency on earth. There's an email server that a former Secretary of State and a presidential candidate, while she was Secretary of State, decided against the rules to do her email communication with a Gmail email address, but using a private server that did not belong to the State Department, was not supervised or managed by the State Department, and none of those emails were supposed to be processed that way. Government employees are supposed to use their .gov email addresses for official business. Hillary's excuse? Most of those 30,000 emails were about their daughter's wedding plans, and discussions of things like that. 30,000 of those emails. Now, how many more were there? We have no idea. Where's the server? Where physically is the Clinton email server? Somebody has it, and somebody knows. But the FBI has never examined Hillary Clinton's email server or its hard drive or drives if it had more than one. Sounds eerily similar to that of the Democrat National Committee, the DNC. Remember on Debbie Wasserman Schultz's watch as the chairman of the Democrat Party, She hired some Pakistanis, a family of IT specialists, to manage the DNC servers. And not only those, but the Democrat Congress members' server, the one that served all the Democrats in Congress. And it was known they were being investigated, and she still kept them along. They're under federal indictment awaiting a trial. Nobody knows where that server is. The DNC refused to turn it over to the FBI. How about that? So, we know the Chinese are responsible for that huge Office of Personnel Management hack in 2015. 21 million files of former and current federal employees were hacked there. Where are Hillary's emails, and where is that server? Where is the DNC server? This is crazy. So, back to Peter Strzok and Louis Gohmert, Congressman Gohmert. Here is how Strzok should have responded to Gohmert's question about the briefing that Strzok received from the Intelligence Inspector General Staff. We're going to paraphrase here, and we'll make up a response that would have been appropriate. If it was me, here's what I would have said if I was Peter Strzok. Quote, as the FBI's lead counterintelligence agency, the head of it, I understood that this was a major security breach with widespread implications over the disclosure of sensitive and classified communications. I immediately implemented protocols to investigate the extent of the problem, to notify all agencies and government officials whose communications had been compromised, to assess the damage that may have been done to specific operations, assets, programs, and personnel, and to prepare recommendations on how to remedy the problems caused by this disclosure. That sounds like something that the lead counterintelligence agency agent of the FBI would say. Unfortunately, Strzok said, actually, while he did remember meeting Mr. Rucker on either one or two occasions, he did not recall the specific content or discussions. In other words, the FBI's main counterintelligence director doesn't remember being told that the Secretary of State, who, by the way, was his preferred candidate for president at the time, had a breach in her computer system that forwarded all of her internal communications, including emails containing classified information, to a foreign entity. That's unconscionable. Since he claimed not to remember being told about something that serious, he obviously did absolutely nothing about it. So we still don't know. If you just joined us today, we are reading between the lines, and we're talking about Peter Strzok and his testimony and some crazy things that have been kind of overlooked in D.C. When we come back, I've got some questions to ask you to consider about Strzok and a couple of other things. So you sit tight. We're back in 2 minutes at truthnewsnetwork.org.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars?
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Mm.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.
And the truth is what we're after today in every show here at TruthNewsNet.org. So, since he claimed not to remember being told about something that serious, we're talking about Peter Strzok. He obviously did nothing about it. The question is, which of two scenarios is more likely to be true? Either one, Strzok was completely incompetent, or two, his pro-Clinton bias displayed in the thousands of text messages between him and Lisa Page caused him to downplay this security issue and ignore it because it could hurt his favorite presidential candidate if it came to light. You pick. Which one of those two could it be? Strzok's anti-Trump, pro-Clinton bias was overwhelming. And if I'm going to pick from the two, I'm going to lean that way. The texts between him and Page are direct and damning evidence in and of themselves. But there's more. Did you see that committee hearing in which he testified for so long? His body language and attitude during that hearing also showed bias against Donald Trump and for Clinton. His lack of prudent action as an agent when he was briefed about this massive security breach suggests that he may have abandoned his role as a law enforcement officer and skewed the results of a politically sensitive investigation to serve his own political leanings. Remember this. This is the guy who on his own, without legal input. This is an FBI guy, a manager in the FBI, head of the counterintelligence division. He changed what was released by James Comey in the official report about Hillary's use of a private email server. Remember that? He's the guy that did that. He obviously was biased. Another disturbing thing that came out of this exchange was that, according to Gohmert, the Office of the Intelligence Community Inspector General called Michael Horowitz. You remember him? He's the current Inspector General of the Department of Justice, and he was in that same position under President Obama. The other guy called him four times because he wanted, obviously, to brief Horowitz about the forensic analysis and this security breach. But according to Congressman Gohmert, Horowitz never returned the call. Four times they attempted to communicate. According to Horowitz's recent report, you heard all about it. It was on the Clinton email server investigation. The FBI did not find evidence confirming that Clinton's email server, nothing on the systems were compromised by cyber means. Remember, though, they did not examine the actual hardware. They could not definitively determine that her servers had not been compromised. Obviously, if the intelligence inspector general had information to the contrary, that would be significant. Horowitz doesn't know. He never returned one of those four phone calls. If this is true, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the Intelligence Inspector General have an obligation to disclose to the public and to lawmakers the foreign entity that hacked into Clinton's server and received all of those communications. Now, when they do that, while they're in there, they can find out who sent them. If it was an automatic send, that's one thing. But did someone else send it? We don't know right now. And they can also find out who specifically, what computer IP address they went to. That disclosure would be similar to the way they revealed that it was the Russians who hacked into the Democratic National Committee and Clinton's campaign. And they say that happened. Remember, no evidence. Nothing's been given to the public. Everybody in the intelligence community says, oh, yes, we have definitive proof. You haven't seen any, you haven't heard any, nor have I. They also need to disclose what steps have been taken to investigate the extent and the depth of the problems called by this potential security breach. Why call it potential anymore, folks? We know that all but 4 of 30,000 emails on Hillary's server were sent to a foreign entity, and we have no clue who they went to. They haven't told us. They know. Those in the political arena who have been painting Strzok as some kind of hero who deserves a Purple Heart. Come on, a Purple Heart? When I heard that in that hearing, I went absolutely nuts. Everybody who says he's a hero or he deserves a Purple Heart needs to stop insulting our intelligence and insulting our veterans and the families of those whose loved ones have gone to war. Some have given their lives to protect our country. Wounded in action. That's how you get a Purple Heart. If this is an example of how Strzok did his job, he should have been fired a long time ago, and he is certainly no hero. In summary, let me just say this. It is not uncanny, is it not uncanny to you like it is to me? The never-ending saga of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, and a Democrat National Committee continues and just rocks on and on and on. I'm reminded of that famous line from Jan Brady. You remember her from the television hit series, The Brady Bunch? Jan Brady was complaining about her hearing nothing else from her friends at school other than their fawning remarks about her sister, Marcia. You remember Marcia, the older sister? Jan famously quipped in disgust about her sister, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Well, much of America is heard daily saying, Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. They're just tired of it. But in her case, it really is enough. If just a fraction of what we hear about the Clintons is true, can you imagine the enormous political machine and infrastructure that has been in place for decades to protect them and their alleged wrongdoings? And if that's really factual, is it not scary to you to know that in the freest country on earth, such a political machine actually exists that is functioning and successfully so far shielding its operators from any responsibility for their illegal actions? Most importantly, will it ever end? Or will it just keep right on going? Hillary, really? Is she really contemplating another run for the White House in 2020? Is the Democrat Party, that we know is in shambles right now, so dysfunctional to allow the likes of Bill and Hillary, Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, and others, allowing them to claim the right to proclaim Democrat Party policies and represent their party one more election cycle? Haven't they had enough? I can tell you, we've had enough. If that really is the case, another Hillary run will be allowed by the DNC. I'm certain President Trump is sleeping better. Surely the party of the donkey, the Democrat Party, isn't going in the same direction that its mascot goes, the donkey. To be honest, I doubt the Clintons are going to face any legal repercussions for any of their misdeeds. Think about this, the travesty of this. If so, a former U.S. Senator, former Secretary of State, a two-time presidential candidate, that's Hillary, will have slipped through the rule of law that she claims that she wants to uphold while spending a few more years in the White House. That, of course, is not to mention a two-term U.S. president. Yep, Bill is caught up in all this, too. His hands are as dirty as Hillary's. I shudder to think of the possibility they might escape prosecution. We all should shudder at that real possibility. Just imagine how much all the things that have been brought to light in the first 18 months of the Trump presidency that have illuminated the evil, unjust and illegal activities that have happened during the 2016 election and beyond. Just imagine, would they have been exposed in a Hillary presidency? That's a stupid question, isn't it? Since she would be commander-in-chief, I doubt any of this, any of it at all, would be known at all, at least not in detail. I can't imagine which would be worse to be heard from the White House. This? Forget about that email server. Vladimir assured my campaign staff he lost the hard drive that 30,000 of them came from. Or maybe even worse. Hey, little girl, want a piece of candy? Yuck. The thought of either in the White House gives me the creeps. I just can't bear to think about what we would have to live through with another 4 years of a Clinton in the White House. Hey, that's going to wrap things up today. We look between the lines at the Truth News Network. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be back tomorrow and do it. We do it almost every day in podcast and written article form. Make sure you're here. We appreciate you being a part of this family. We never take you for granted at the Truth News Network. So long.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world.
TNN,
the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.